Share a message from this area of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and it's very familiar, and we're going to do something just a little bit different this morning, but I believe that it will be a blessing to you because missions has been a blessing to me. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and I'm going to read just the first six verses here, but we're going to endeavor this morning to cover a couple of points that I definitely want to make you aware of this morning. And hopefully we can get a blessing from it. Everyone there this morning.
Amen.
Moreover, brethren, we do you the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of afflictions, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he have begun, so he would also finish in you this grace also. Father, we just pray this morning through the power of the Spirit of God that you might speak to our hearts this morning from this area of Scripture. Lord, you might use this moment and this time in a special way. Nothing that we could ever do and offer to you what we have because of the grace of God. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would use this time to speak through me. Be a blessing to your people. God, I pray that you would just empty me of myself, fill me with your Spirit, Lord, that you might have your willing way in the hearts and lives of your people, that everyone here this morning under the sound of my voice might receive that which you have for them. And God, most of all, it wouldn't be any reason for us to gather this morning if it was not for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if there be someone this morning that has not been cleansed thoroughly by the saving grace of Jesus, I pray this morning that this would be the day that they would make that decision for you before it's eternally too late. I praise you now and thank you and ask that you bless here. You bless our pastor as he is sharing the word of God this morning up at Desert Springs. I pray you use him in a mighty way. But as we gather here, Lord, may we sense your presence also. And we ask your blessings upon this time. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated.
Time measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my prayer, express with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran a course I could not start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, Jesus put the final mile between me and heaven so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me, I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Amen. What a fitting song this morning. Amen. You know, I asked Brother Gary a couple of months ago, when he sang that song, had no idea that a song would affect me the way it has this morning already. I want you to think about it this morning. Where would you be if it was not for grace?
That's right, Pastor White. That's right, Pastor White.
I think of it this morning. Country boy, growing up in a little small town in North Carolina. My dad was a sharecropper. I joined the military some years after I graduated from high school. Went to Edwards Air Force Base. Spent about 4 years there. And I think back over my life, where would I be if it wasn't for grace? I don't know about you, but there are some things in your life that you go through. And I thought about it this morning. I thought about it last night. I thought about it a month ago, how I would even introduce this area of scripture to you this morning. But I'm going to start it out this way. And I think about my own testimony. If y'all have ever been to Teresa and our home, you probably wouldn't notice it. But we have two peacocks. They're made of brass. And when you walk into our bedroom, One of them is over the archway that goes into the bedroom. You go out our living room and into the linen closet or into the garage and go out, there's another one over there. When I think about those peacocks, every time I go in and out my house, I think about when I didn't have anything. Those were the first two things that Teresa and I had of many things, or not a lot of things that we have when we first got married. We kept those peacocks because they reminded us of where we had come from. And also in our home, there's a wall unit, and it's full of all kind of knickknacks or whatever you call them, or different things that we have in our home, and they remind us of the grace of God. Because in that wall unit, it represents all of the places and all of the things that we were able to accumulate. When I look at that wall unit, I think back into the time when we were in Germany, when I knew about giving to missions, and that wall unit is a reminder to me of the blessings that God has poured out in my life because of the grace of God, that I came to know Christ as my Savior when we went to a small place in Torrejón, Spain. And there was a missionary there by Gary Kraft who came and invited Teresa and I out to a church. And we never have heard the gospel presentation in such a way that we came to know Christ as our Savior. And that's where the journey of our life began in the Christian life.
Praise the Lord.
And if it was not for the grace of God and missions, where somebody thought enough of their love for God that they gave to missions, that Gary Kraft was there in a church that was mission-minded when it comes to giving to missions. And Teresa and I are a fruit of the blessings of someone loving God enough beyond their tithes and offerings that would give an offering to God, that would send a missionary to a place called Torrejón Baptist Church where we could go in and hear the gospel, and we got saved. And every time I go out the door, I thought about where I was, and I look at the things that I have in my home. They're there because of the grace of God, and not because of anything that I have that I could be so proud of, except I accept that Christ is my Savior. He changed my life. And those are reminders to me of the grace of God. And where would I be if it was not for the grace of God? And like most of y'all that are sitting here this morning, Brother Joe had no idea that I wanted to refer back to Malachi, because when I think about Malachi, and when most of us, when we get saved, one of the greatest struggles that we all have in our Christian life is tithing and offerings to God. See, if you don't tithe to God, you'll never experience the joy of giving, because the Christian life is all about giving because of what Jesus did for you and for I. He gave his life on Calvary. He was the giver of giving. He is the example of giving. And because he gave, you and I are here today because of the grace of God. I want you to think about it this morning. If it had not been for grace, Pastor Dawson would have never been sent out by Bethel Baptist Church to start this church. And many of you all would never have gotten saved if it had not been for the grace of God bringing him to this church and starting this church. I wouldn't be standing here in front of you this morning if it had not been for the grace of God that saved my wretched soul, that I could come and preach a message from the 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, where it talks about the grace of God that was bestowed on the church at Macedonia. If it were not for grace, where would you be this morning? And if you're not excited about the grace of God, then there's something wrong about the excitement of your Christian life. If you don't have a desire to give the missions, to see somebody get saved because somebody gave the missions, you got saved.
Amen.
But the most struggle that all of us have as Christians when we first get saved, we have problems giving our tithes and offerings to God. And many of you here this morning are not doing that. And if you're not giving to mission, you're not giving God the 10% that belongs to him, you'll never experience the joy of giving beyond that, because if you don't give him what you owe him, you could never be successful in giving God above that which you owe when it comes to giving to missions. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm a benefactor of that. I got saved. And it reminds me in Malachi, will a man rob God? Is the question in Malachi chapter 3. And they ask, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. This whole nation has robbed me of tithes and offering. You know, one of the greatest debts in our society today, and I believe why America is struggling today, because there are people who have never given to God 1 cent because they're all living a selfish life and they're robbing God of what belongs to him. And our country is going down and we'll never get out of debt because we'll never bow our knees to God and we'll never be blessed, because as long as we've robbed God, God will never turn his back on his promise, because he said those that would give, I would open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. Right. Prove God. And he'll pour out a blessing. We rob ourselves of the Savior's blessing. We also rob ourselves of the spiritual blessings in our lives because we won't even tithe to God. And we rob others from the sinners that need to know Christ as Savior because we won't give to keep the church doors open, the gospel being preached. We won't even give to that because God wants us to be a testimony of his goodness and his grace in our lives that other people might desire to see and know the person that we have when we think about grace. When you think about grace this morning, where would you be if it was not for grace? Where would I be this morning if it was not for grace? I know that pastor, and I'm not trying to go behind and repeat anything that he said, but I believe this morning that God has a message for us, and I want to remind you again, and you know, I know what it's like when he talks about the churches of Macedonia, how Paul would write and want to give us an example of people that were in just as great of a struggle that you could ever be financially, you could ever be spiritually, you could ever be physically, you could ever be mental. I believe that the church at Macedonia was one of those places where they were going through some great things. But he says, moreover, brother, I do you the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Because of this grace that was bestowed upon them, they had no problems giving to God above their tithes and offerings because they love God. And if you don't love God enough to give him the tithes, you'll never give the missions because you don't never understand it. Because giving the missions is a spiritual. It's giving spiritually. It's not giving just haphazardly. And when he says the grace that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, I want you to know, first of all, the example of grace giving begins right here. And because of what they were doing, there's three things I wanted to think about when we think about the example that these people were. They were an example because they were prompted to give because they knew that there was a need. And there's a need today that we would be able to go out and reach the world with the gospel of God, or Jesus Christ, because we've been mandated by God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God wants us to go out and reach this world. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. And the only way that we can carry out this mission, oh Lord, water. Help me out, Joe. The only way that we can carry out that mission is to support missions. That we can do what God has first commanded us to do. And this church is an example. And you know what? And growing up, when I said I was raised on a farm, I thought poor, I didn't even know we were poor. I didn't know what poor was. And as I stepped out of the bounds of where I grew up, I was so poor, you spell poor with three O's. And had no idea. See, my brother and I, we were about the same age. We weren't about the same. We was about the same size. We were so poor that when you wore out your pants, you didn't get rid of them. You just found these patches that they used to have, and they would iron those patches on to cover up the place where your knees would come out because you were worn out. You walked around in the summertime, you didn't have shoes on because we went barefooted. You bought shoes for the wintertime. In the summertime, you just didn't have any shoes on. Amen. But when I got saved and I gave my tithes and offering to the Lord, God prompted my heart about giving. And here these people, they were prompted about giving to the Lord when the Bible tells us that they were so poor. They were in great poverty. They were in great persecution. But yet it tells me today that no matter what our circumstances are in life, you can still give to God. Amen. You can still give to missions. It doesn't matter. So we are not exempt from giving because you say you have nothing to give. They didn't have nothing to give. They were so poor, they still wanted to give out of even debt that they had that they probably could have kept to themselves because they were just that poor. And I can understand that. But when you understand the grace of God and how it is the heartbeat of God, why wouldn't you as a Christian, why wouldn't you want to get involved? I don't understand that. Why wouldn't you want to be involved? And you know, and I've been saved as a Christian since 1986. And it has never, never been boring to me to hear somebody preach from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 because I understand where I would be if it had not been for grace. I know where I would be. I would be walking down some road to sinless lifestyle that I was on because I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. Don't rob God. Don't rob yourselves of the spiritual blessings that God wants you to have. This is an example of grace given at this church when he said the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. There was a problem in grace given because they were under great persecution. But not only we see the persecution, but the verse 1 tells us of the poverty that they were in. Look at verse number 2, how that in great trials of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were poor. They were persecuted. They were under all of these things, but yet they still gave to the Lord. They still gave to the Lord. They are an example to us this morning. No matter where you are in your life, when it comes to giving, you can still give. The circumstances shouldn't cause you not to give. Shouldn't cause you not to give. You have no reason. If we think about the example that they were. The example that they were. But notice not only the example that they were, but notice the pleasure of grace giving. Look at chapter verse number 2, because it tells us that they gave unto, they were in deep poverty, but they, in great trials of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They did it with joy. It gave them the pleasure of giving to God. I think about our Lord Jesus Christ. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for your sake and for my sake. He looked forward to going to the cross because the joy of him going, souls would be saved because of his going to the cross. And that was the joy that was set before him. He saw you and I. He saw how we needed him. And he was willing to do that. And it brought him great joy to please his Father. It ought to bring us joy to please our Heavenly Father. By doing what? Giving to missions. Giving to it. You ought to give him what you owe him, first of all, so that you'll be right with God. Because just giving the tithes just make you right with God. Giving to missions make you so that the abundance of your joy for the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. The spiritual life really is based on what you and I do with our treasure. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. So wherever you spend your money is where your joy is. I remember growing up, Flag Brothers was one of my favorite little stores. Y'all don't know nothing about that either. Yeah. Platform heels and bell-bottom pants. Yeah. Afro popped out, whoo! That's where it was. That was the road that I was on. I remember when I worked. I you know, if there was an album that came out, I'd go down to the album store just to buy it because it was new. Amen. Never even listened to it. Didn't even know what was on it. I would buy it so I would have it. I joined the military. And Teresa and I, we just old country folk. We ain't know nothing about taking what you wanted to take with you. So I left some of my albums there. At the house we grew up in, or with my grandmother's house, I come back a few months later. Grandma threw all them in the trash. Matter of fact, she didn't throw them in the trash. She threw them out in the woods, Courtney. She said, I didn't think you wanted them.
Oh, man.
I didn't know any better.
Oh,
But when I got saved, I realized where I needed to spend or where I needed to put my money. It's where my heart ought to be. It ought to be in the things of God. They were prompted to give because of the joy that it comes with giving. I don't know about you, but you know what? You can't take anything that you have with you except lost souls that be in heaven because you gave to missions. Or because you were faithful in giving to God. That's the only thing that you can take to heaven. These clothes you can't take. Matter of fact, if you keep them long enough, you're going to either wear them out or they get too small and you can't wear them. Amen. You can't take any of that with you. But you know what? Those that hear the gospel down in Mexico, we're excited about this morning to hear the testimony of Brother Scott. Folks, I can't even begin to tell you of the blessings of God. You know, I just think about this week. The light came on in my car. One of the tires on the van started bumping. Monday afternoon, I went and took it to the Honda place. All it was a gas cap. Tighten that up. Took the van to the tire place. They replaced the tire, $161 tire for $11. So $11, I had both cars back to where they needed to be because of what? Because of the grace of God. And if that ain't enough, before the week was out, I get a check in the mail for some gold that I had in my teeth where I had pulled out and got rid of. I got a check for that. Folks, it's just the grace of God bestowed on you because of me being his child. Do I deserve it? No, I don't. But because he says, I will, and Malachi, he told them, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Not for his, but for your sake. I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. You ought to be prompted this morning to give because that is the example that the Church of Macedonia is to us this morning. They are the example because they had great pleasure in giving to God. Not only do we see the pleasure they had, but we see the power that they gave. They gave beyond their power. They gave to their power, but they gave beyond their power. Because they wanted to give to God. They wanted to be on board with what was most important to their Savior was to give. And you know, if you're having any problems that you can't give to your power, you can't give beyond your power because if you won't give him the basis of what belongs to him, again, let me say it, you'll never give the missions and be successful in it. Because you don't understand really what giving is. See, God is not a rewarder of those that don't diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith. So how are you going to please God? Have faith in giving to him what belongs to him. Have faith in giving above that which he already owe him. And you know what? He'll never be in debt to anybody because he'll give back to you more than you could ever hope or dream. He wants to pour you out a blessing. You know, I heard this saying this week, God wants to shovel it in so that you can shovel it out. And his shovel is bigger than your shovel. Amen. Most of us got that little bitty shovel that you can get from Ace Hardware. You can't put a whole lot on it. But God got one of them shovels that you use when you want to move snow. Got a bulldozer. When he pours out a blessing, it ought to prompt you this morning to see this example that we see at Macedonia. Because you know what? God wants to bless. And they were extremely liberal in their giving because they wanted to be on board with what God had commissioned them to do. And we ought to be excited and want to be on board this morning with doing what God would have us to do. And that is to be involved in missions. Most of us are struggling with the tithe. But let me tell you something. I struggled with it too when I first got saved. It was hard to do. You know who encouraged me to do it? My wife. So, honey, we need to do this thing. You know what? We did it. Ain't look back. got introduced to missions, never looked back. And I'm not bragging on myself. Let me tell you something. I've gotten to where God has blessed me. I give three times more than my tithe. You said, why are you telling me that? Because it's faith. I found out I couldn't outgive God. So I took the joy and the pleasure of just putting him to the test. Prove me. Prove him. But what happens to most of us, as pastors already said, most of us live beyond our means. So when it comes to giving, we can't give anything. Because we're giving it all to the devourer. It's like, hey, I says, you have, and it's like putting your money into a bag with holes in it. And that which you're withholding from God, you can't even keep it. Because it'll go out to somebody else or something else. That's how it adds up. You either pay him now, or the old saying, pay me later. So which is it going to be? See, they are the example of it. God wants you. And you know what? And not only, you think about it, not only did they want to give, but he says, praying. Look at verse number 4. Praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. You know, in other words, they begging Paul to take their offering. Let me let you in on something. Missions conference is coming. Why don't you just pray and ask God, what would he have you to give? You know what? You just might get an answer. And he might scare you with what he tells you to give. But I tell you this much, if he tells you to give it, he's going to provide it.
That's right. Amen.
He's going to provide it. See, God just works that way. He's not going to ask us to do something that he can't or he didn't do. He gave it all. And I like what Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He wanted to serve. You can't serve God when your treasure is in somewhere else. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Check your bank book. Where is it at? Where do you spend it? What do you do with it? I feel guilty that I ain't giving them enough. I'm serious. Because he gives me so much. More than I ever deserve. I got that check, and then I got another check this week. I got the car taken care of. It didn't even cost me but $11 and took care of two problems.
Wow.
$11 just brought the warranty for the tire that they put on there. That's just God. And I could tell you story after story as when I was in Germany or when I was in Spain, where I understood the grace giving and the importance of it and how God blesses. Because I saw how other people were being blessed. You know what? I wanted to be in on that. I wanted to be in on it. I'm looking forward to one day that there's going to be people standing in heaven, glory, because of missions giving. And I'm looking forward to it. I didn't speak very much Spanish, didn't speak very much German, don't speak no Mexico, but I'm looking forward to being in heaven and seeing people I never saw in my life in heaven because I was willing to give. That's the joy of the Christian life, other than sharing the gospel, is giving to the outgoing of the gospel. So we see here first of all the example of grace. I'm gonna just cover 2 points, amen. But I want us to notice that first of all, in this example, we see the prompting, we see the problems that they had, we see the pleasure in giving, we saw the power in giving, but we see the prayer in giving, but the priority in this giving. Notice the priority. And this they did not as we hope, but first gave their own selves. You got to give ourselves to God. That ought to be the first priority. If you're here this morning, you can't do any of this that would please God except you know Christ as your Savior. Amen. Your priority, number one, ought to be that you know Christ as your Savior. That's number one. And you know, I never forget when we were in Germany, whatever, I don't know who it was, but I remember when somebody made the comment that if you want to be right with God, first of all, give it yourselves. If there was a treasure box or if there was an offering plate big enough, just stand in it and say, here I am, Lord. I'm giving you it all. Because if I give him myself, you know what? He got my wallet. He got my pocketbook. He got my wallet. And he got my heart. Because I've given it all to him. I want you to use it. I want you to have it. You'll do better at it than I would. And make more use of it than I ever could. Just give it to him. And you know what? And he's going to meet every need that you have. But your priority got to be in the right place. Give of yourselves is the priority. That's the example that they was. Second of all, I want you to notice the exhortation that's given. The exhortation that's given in this grace giving. We see them being an example. We see the priority in their giving. We see all of those things that we talked about that are the example in their giving. But second of all, I want us to notice the exhortation. He does some great things here in showing us about this exhortation and grace giving. First of all, he encourages giving. Look at verse number 6. Insomuch that he desired Titus that he would, that as he have begun, so that he would finish also in you this same grace. He wanted to encourage them in giving. You know, if a pastor or preacher is worth anything, Paul was encouraging them to give to Titus that which you had promised to give. Paul didn't want there to be any gathering when he come. Because I believe he didn't want any gathering to be when he come. Because he didn't want anybody to think that he was just coming for the money. Why is that so important? Because a lot of people today won't give a dime to anybody when they think that the preacher is the one getting the money. He wanted Titus to go. So he's encouraging them in giving. I've noticed in a lot of times, and I remember some years ago, there are people that would give, and when the tithing plate go around, they watch it all the way to the back.
Oh, yeah. That's right, Pastor.
Make sure that preacher ain't getting none of it. Followed around in there where Joe counted at. They would do that if they could. See, these people weren't tightwads. When you're trying to hold on to it, you won't give it to anybody. You won't give it to God because you're trying to hold on to it. He was encouraging them to give because if Paul felt like if you waited till he got there, he would feel like that most of them, and I believe if he's a preacher of the gospel, that you're doing it for him.
Yep.
See, you don't do it for Pastor Dawson.
That's right.
You don't do it for me. You do it because you love God. Because if you do it because you love God, you'll be consistent in your giving because your priority is in the right place. If Pastor Dawson leaves, you ought to still give to the gospel. If I leave, you still ought to give to the gospel. When Pastor Kraft left, I just knew I ought to do what I said I've always do. I'm going to serve the Lord. And y'all have heard me say that before. So he encouraged them in giving. Is the exhortation that he gives. But notice, secondly, under this exhortation, he not only encouraged their giving, but he encouraged in their growing. Look at verse number 7. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. You know what? As you grow in your walk with the Lord, and your faith in God, you ought to be willing to do a little bit more. If you're growing in diligence, you're growing in knowledge, you'll learn more about who God really is. And your priorities ought to change. I remember in Germany and in overseas when we were over there for almost 10 years. You had to get up early, early, to watch a football game that came on in the States. Now, I wouldn't even go to the table if it was there.
Amen.
Because you know what? It really don't matter. You could turn the TV on and watch CNN and see all what was the good part. Mm-hmm. We got iPhones and iPads. We can watch the score. And I'm not against watching it. We used to get up early. Rose's husband know what I'm talking about. Brother Serge know what I'm talking about. Brother Smith know who I'm talking about.
Amen.
We'd get together at our church, the men of our church, and even the wives. We'd get up early on a Sunday night or Monday morning when the Super Bowl came on. The boss would give us the morning off so we could watch the Super Bowl that came on about 3 o'clock in the morning. You ain't had to be to work till midday. I wouldn't do that for nothing now. I'm just saying, you can record and watch it later.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Really? Somebody going to tell you the score anyway.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
You know, when it comes on here, you ought to be in church anyhow.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But my desires change. The things that I thought were important, they've changed. I didn't got the hair to pop out no more.
Amen.
Amen. I don't need the platform shoes. I'm telling y'all a story. Teresa said, we were talking about it, joking about it the other day. I used to have this jacket, almost Brother Joe, I had it the Superfly. Had the collar, had the fur on the collar, the coat linked down to the top of the shoe. And when I strutted across the floor and she saw this guy walking, she just had to have it. She said, I'm going to kill you when you get home. But let me tell you the other side of the story. Teresa and I went into high school. We go back to sixth grade. When I saw Teresa, when she came into high school, I saw this girl walk across the lunchroom, had on this little fur coat. The fur came across the collar all the way down and went around the bottom of the jacket. I'll never forget it. I can see her right now. And I saw her walk across the cafeteria, and my eyes locked on her all the way. I'll never forget. No. It was her. It was her. I fell in love with her. And from that day on, we've been together since then. But as I grow in the Lord, I fall in love with him just a little bit more.
Amen.
The same way. Because when you read the pages of his book, you experience more of his love for you.
Amen.
And it ought to prompt you just a little bit more to give because you love him. Because you want to be a part of what God is a part of. And he's promising to bless you. So they were not only this exhortation to grow in their giving, but they were to grow spiritually as well. Not only in their giving, but in their growing for the things of God. Because as your faith grows and it increases, you ought to make a difference in your life. So it encouraged them in growing, but it also encouraged them in giving. Notice what it says. I speak not by commandment, but by an occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know, in other words, Paul is saying here, you don't have to give to missions. You know, you don't have to give. He says, I can't even command you to give because you don't have to. But you know what? You don't get the blessings. I remember hearing one of my cousins say this. Most of us as Christians, we want the champagne taste on the Pepsi-Cola giving. Did y'all hear that? We want the champagne results when we're only willing to give a Pepsi-Cola. But they used to say, you want the champagne taste living on the Miller High. I don't even say that. Don't drink no beer. So I put Pepsi in there instead. And we're going to talk about that tonight as we look at another part of that. But he's encouraging them to give. He says, give. He wanted them to give. And he isn't commanding you to do it, but he says the forwardness has the idea that he wanted you to perform it like the others. As I said before, when you think about what other people are doing, and this church is an example of that giving, I want to do it too. Because I want to experience the joy that they are experiencing. I want to be involved in what is important to God, because as a Christian, I want to be a part of what is important to God, because mission giving is the heartbeat of God. I've heard that many of times throughout my Christian life. So he's encouraging them. And he's encouraging them. And verse number 9, I go back and I think about the encouraging them as an example of this great example. I go back to Ephesians chapter number 2. Again, let this mind be in you. Notice what he says in verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, or our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. In other words, when Jesus Christ came to this earth and we accept him as Savior, what is ours. Everything that belongs to him belongs to you and I now, because we become heirs of Jesus Christ. We can't go broke because God owns everything. You can't go broke giving to God. And he was exhorting them in this. And when you see how other people are being blessed, when you hear the testimonies of it, I don't know about you, but I want to have a testimony. Not for the selfish reason, but I want to give God the glory. Kathy couldn't wait to tell you about how she thought she didn't have any money, but she had $100. I didn't think I had any money either, but I had a check come in from that old gold too.
Amen.
That was a cap. I'm thinking they ain't going to give me nothing for it. Not much. But I got $132. Amen. That was better than going down to good old Tom. He wouldn't have probably given me that for it. But you know what? That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. So he said, be forward. Like those others that you know about, all these other churches are getting involved in meeting needs of people. You are meeting the spiritual needs of somebody that needs to be encouraged. But notice not only encouragement here we see in this exhortation, but notice the encouraging of expediency. Look at verse number 10. And therein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward. A year ago, you promised it, so give it. If we promised to give $89,200 last year, in order to complete what we said we were going to give, we got to the end of this month to reach the goal. And some have fell along the wayside, but that's okay. But you got to start somewhere. This is a new year coming up. And we want to take on some more missionaries. And some might say, why you want to do that? Because we love God. I believe churches that give to missions are churches that God pours out his blessings. Does that mean you're going to be exempt from trials? No, it's not. But you know, two things that you can do. You can always love God, and you can always give to God.
That's right.
No matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances are, you can always love God, and you can always give to God. Because you know what? If you do it, what did he say this morning, Jeffrey? They that love the Lord do what? I done caught him off guard.
Amen.
That's all right. He'll be back next week. But if you love God, give to him to prove the sincerity of your love. Give, because he gave. He's the greatest example. And I want to exhort you this morning to give to him. You can't outgive him. The joy of giving. Stingy folks don't enjoy anything. The greatest joy you can have is giving. Because you see how other people who receive it, the joy that they have because of you giving. When Jesus said the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Because he was looking forward to the joy of one day you and I would be in heaven with him. And that was worth it all to him. What is a lost soul worth to you this morning? Because somebody gave. And because somebody gave, you are a recipient because you are saved. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. What do we mean by being saved? Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It means to repent of your sin, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what I did. That's what makes the difference. You have to give yourself to God before you can ever please God with a penny that you ever give. That's country talk, a penny that you ever give. They gave her themselves. What about you this morning? Have you ever given yourself to the Lord? That's the beginning. And everything else is the icing on the cake. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again so much for your goodness and for your grace. Lord, we don't deserve this grace that was bestowed on the churches at Macedonia. Because they were an example, Paul speaks of, he exhorts us this morning. And I pray this morning, dear God, if there's a Christian here this morning who has not been faithful, first of all, in their tithing, Lord, that they would do that. That's the first step. Those that are here this morning that professing to know Christ as Savior, who are not tithing, that they would do that. But those also who have been promised to give to missions, that they would complete their giving as well. And those that have never been involved, that they would get involved because of the grace of God, because they love you. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around but me. Maybe you're here this morning, first of all, as our pianist play. We're going to have her play a hymn of invitation. Here's what we're going to do, first of all. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Why don't you just step out from where you are and come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Pastor White, I don't truly understand what it means to be saved, but, you know, I want to be saved. We'll have you, if you're a lady, we'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you'll have one of our deacons or one of our men here take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Because that is what really the gospel really is. It is the greatest commission that was given to the church. And that's why we preach it. We teach that you can't do anything for God that would ever be pleasing to him except first you give it yourself. Give him your life to lead, guide, and direct. And that comes through trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Maybe you're here this morning as a Christian and you need to come to this old-fashioned altar and say, God, help me to do what's right that will be pleasing to you, whether it be tithing or whether it be given to missions. Maybe you need to come this morning as well and ask God to help you to be able to do that. See, we're looking forward, dear God, to a new year of giving to missions, and it may seem repetitive, but Lord, we always need to be reminded of things that are important to you that we may be lacking in some area of our lives. And I pray this morning, dear God, those that are under the sound of my voice, first of all, no one to leave here without knowing Christ the Savior. And Lord, whatever area of life that you are speaking to that person about this morning, that they would come and pour their hearts out to you in whatever way it needs to be done. Maybe there's someone here this morning that needs to join a good fundamental Bible believing, preaching, and teaching church. Maybe there's someone here like that this morning as well. You come. Let God deal with your heart. Let God deal with your life. Whatever God would have you to do this morning, you move from where you are and come. Ask God to help you. He will.
distress be dreamed.
As the music plays, God is speaking in your heart. You do whatever God would have you to do. Some have already come. We're going to ask the pianist to play one more hymn and one more verse of this song this morning. No one else comes. We'll close the invitation. But you do whatever God would have you to do this morning. We want to help you in whatever area you need help. The example of grace giving, the exhortation in this grace giving. Tonight we're going to look at the essentials of grace giving. And also tonight we're going to look at not only the essentials of grace giving, but also the expression of this grace giving that we find in this area of Scripture. All for your attention this morning. I tell you, it's just good to be in the house of God. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged this morning about what God wants to do in my life. And I've never regretted one bit of what I've given to the Lord, because God has made such a difference in my life, but He's poured out so many blessings beyond I could ever hope or dream. And he wants to do that in your life as well. I'm going to ask Brother Serge if he could make his way up here to the platform, that he would come and close us in a word of prayer. And if you all come back tonight, we'll finish up this area of Scripture, this area here with two other things we want to bring to your